Seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, and the sixth verse. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, and verse 6. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse 6. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. What a wonderful mercy it would be, beloved friends, if the Lord were to so fulfill this sacred word in our beloved land today. He has all power to. The trouble is, so often we are looking at the impossibilities rather than looking to him who is able to do far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or think. It's with me much while we're away how often we are looking at our afflictions, our troubles, our distresses, many things that burden us and weigh us down when we should be looking up. I think of that beautiful word the Saviour said, when ye see these things come to pass, then look up. And we need faith to do that, don't we? Well, I'll leave that for your prayerful thoughts. We looked somewhat this morning at what preceded this verse, and how suited it is to them that are obedient to the commandments of God. And I will give peace in the land, both in our hearts, in the churches, and too in the nation. But I want us help this afternoon to go a little further. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You know, sleep is a wonderful thing. It's a gift of God, and it's a wonderful thing for our bodies to lie down, because it is relaxing to all the muscles and all the organs of the body. When I first had my voice trouble back in 1989, one of the doctors said to me, what you should do after every service is to lie down. And he said, you may think it's strange, but he said, you know, your mind, your voice, everything needs rest. And the way you will get it to be lying down. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. You take a person that's in much weakness, Some of us, as we get older, we just feel after a busy season, you just want to lie down. But we find here, and ye shall lie down. Now, there's several records in God's holy word of the Lord commanding his people to do this. And Job, in his trial, both of soul and of circumstance and in the family, he knew what it was to lie down from time to time. Now, there are a few things I just want to name. First of all, it speaks of rest. Now, the vital thing is, where are we resting? Man by nature rests in himself, rests in time things, rests in perishing things. But the child of God has a beautiful resting place. And you think of the dove when Noah sent her forth from the ark. She went to and fro, didn't she? She found no place of rest. She was weary. She returns to the ark. And what does Noah do? He put forth his hand and his arm and he took her in. There was a wonderful resting place in that ark. And the dear hymn writer beautifully set it forth, didn't he? In the ark the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Now as you seek to do what the Lord commands you, listen to him and not to man, you'll need a resting place. And that resting place is in none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. You can lie in his arms, can't you? Rest in there. And we read, didn't we, in both the book of Job, and it seemed to so rest upon me to read it, what Job was to experience in his day. And we read in chapter 11, didn't we? Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. And then we find too in those two psalms that we read, the psalmist as to experience the same. And we read, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I await for the Lord sustain me. And you see, continuing thinking of this lying down, it is sustaining to the body. And think about it into the and the mind as well. But think about it in the soul. You see, the soul that rests in Christ is wonderfully sustained. You think of the Apostle Paul when he had that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. The Lord gave him something to sustain him. And you know, a person that's in weakness often is sustained by them having rest. And here the psalmist said, "For the Lord sustain me." And the child of God is not sustained by themselves, but they're sustained by the Lord himself. He'll give them sustaining grace. What did the Lord say to the Apostle Paul? And may he speak it to each of our souls. "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And that word, you know, was not only to sustain him that day when he was enduring that thorn, but for the steps of the journey right through to the end. But then, in Psalm 4, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." You see, what is so wonderful about the Word of God, Job's experience dovetailed with what is recorded by Moses in the book of Leviticus. The psalmist's experience dovetailed with it as well. And what does that mean? It fitted perfectly together. And so does the experience of the child of God today. Things may have changed. We live in many say, but we live in a different world. The world is still the same. It's still contaminated by sin. Things may be different today, but the way to glory is the same. And the Lord is the same. He is not changed. The hymn writer said, "No change has taken place in him. Let all our souls rejoice." So he says, "I will both lay me down in peace." It's a wonderful thing to lie down to rest in peace, isn't it? In peace. But I want to look at the other side as well. There are many times we may lay down or lie down and there are so many things that trouble us so we can't sleep. The psalmist spoke of it. Of the dark hours of the night. And many of us have known what it is in sore trouble of soul and the pathway to walk the house at night. Sleep far from us. Many of the Lord's servants, you know. And you know, really, many come up as hearers and they don't know what the poor minister's been through to experience his text. You know, there are many things that we have to walk through that are just between us and the Lord. And many times we will walk the house in them. But what a mercy when we can lie down and sleep. Rest, you see. And here, he speaks of this so beautifully, and the dear psalmist David, and when you think in his life, the many trials he had, of opposition, of persecution, the threats of his life being destroyed, And yet he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And you know, the Lord can give us sleep. He can. I remember, just off on a personal note, many years ago, back in the 1980s, I was in such a state of mind and of soul and trouble concerning the ministry, and I was at the ends of the earth. And you know, every time I lay in the bed, I immediately all this came before me, and I was so weary, I said to the Lord, Lord, do give me a little sleep from it all, a rest from it all. And those words dropped in so sweetly, so he giveth his beloved sleep. And you know, immediately I went to sleep. And I slept through until 3 o'clock in the morning. And as I woke, immediately all the things were before me again as I woke. But the Lord spoke these words, the strength of every tempted son consists in standing still. And you know, that was a beautiful word. I've never forgot it. There was my strength to stand still, to leave it all in the Lord's hand, you see. Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou should overcome at last? Ye shall lie down, and there come the time, and it came to me very searchingly as I awoke this morning, when we shall lie down for the last time. Can we say with the hymn writer, I long to lay me down to die. And could you really say that? And find eternal rest. You know, it'd be a wonderful last bed to lay in, wouldn't it, if we can truly feel that and find eternal rest. Ye shall lie down. You see, in this word, and I'll be brief, in this word, ye shall lie down. There's a certainty in it. The Lord was speaking. There was no doubt about it. And there will be the time with each of us, whether we be young or old, when we shall lie down and not get up ever. Anymore. And that's a searching point, really, isn't it? How stands the case, the hymn writer said, my soul with thee. Our heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Ye shall lie down. But then there's another point I just want to look at. Lying down in submission to the Lord's will. Submissive, you see. It's a wonderful thing to lie down submissive to the Lord's will. It's a sacred spot then when we can lie down and we're absolutely submissive. Thy will be done, O Lord. Resigned to it all. And the Lord brought Job there, you know. He brought David there in his life. We could lie down, and they were both made sweetly submissive to whatever the will of God is. Ye shall lie down. I often speak, as your late beloved pastor used to, of the certainties in God's word And when you think of these in this text, they're wonderful words, really. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You know, in the East where this was penned originally, there were many things to make the person that was lying down in a natural way afraid. There were many wild animals. They didn't have secure houses like we did. Many of them dwelt in tents. The dangers were many. The wolves, the lions, the tigers. You say they were many, there were many things to make them afraid. You know, looking at it in a natural way for them to lie down. But here he speaks of them lying down and none shall make them afraid. The Lord was to take all their fears away of whatever might come. But then not only that, there were many enemies in the land. They were out to destroy them. And really, when you look in the earth today, and we know for the most part we're wonderfully favoured in this land, but you look at some of the nations of the earth where many are afraid to go out of their houses because of persecution. Many are afraid because there are those that are threatening to destroy their lives. Christianity is under persecution to a great extreme today. And we know not what will come in this land. The enemies are great. And many of God's dear children are afraid. And especially at night. I remember a dear old lady used to be here. She said to me when her husband passed away, she said, you know, she was a very timid lady, and she said to me, you know, I was so afraid to sleep on my own. Felt so afraid. And she said, one night I got to bed and I heard this noise and that noise, she said, and I started to tremble. I was so afraid, she said. But she said, you know, the Lord came and he spoke these words to me. And she never forgot it. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. And she said, all I could do was lie in his hands, this blessed sovereign protector, the Lord himself. And she said, I could go to sleep. She said, after that, I'd lie down submissive to his will. Hymn writer said, to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. Ye shall lie down. There was no doubt about it. If we are spared to the coming of night, we shall lie down. Man does. It's one of the things God has commanded, to rest for the night. Lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Now, let's bring it right home here. There may be those of you, some of you young ones, may have things that you're afraid in as you come to die. And there are times, you know, when we're afraid and we tremble, don't we? And we shake with fear. And there are some times where the Lord will lay a commandment upon us and we're afraid because we're poor creatures of the earth. Well, let me use an illustration from God's word. You think of dear Jeremiah. When the Lord commanded him to go and prophesy, and it wasn't to an easy people, a people that were rebellious, a people that were backsliding, a people that had been in so much bondage, and were many of them still. And he was afraid. How can I go, Lord? I'm only a child. I cannot speak. He was afraid. And there are many of us servants of God that look back in our days when we were exiled, said, Lord, how can I go? I've got no ability, no wisdom. I'm only a poor worm of the earth. How can I go? Yet the command was to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. And what did the Lord say to dear Jeremiah? He calms his heart. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Be not afraid of their faces. And what was the Lord doing? He was calming the dear man's heart, taking away all the fears he had and all that he was afraid in. Be not afraid of their faces. I mean, I've told you before, but I was asked to go to a chapel. That was back in the early days of my ministry. And, of course, I was only young in those days, and the deacon wrote to me, and I gave them one Lord's Day in the letter of reply. And but after a while, and in those days, they used to write and confirm the dates. And he wrote to me, and he confirmed it, but it was reluctantly, because he said he'd heard I was a young man, and he'd heard different things about me, and if I came, I'd got to preach like this and like that, and listed it out. And I thought, well, however shall I go? He's judging me before I even get there. Well, it was in for, the date was in the September of the following year. And I went to stay with some friends of mine up in Bedfordshire, and then went on to this chapel. But on that Saturday night, you know, I went to bed, and I was so tossed and buffeted by Satan, the devil let loose, and I felt to be at the ends of the earth. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how can I sleep with all this? How can I go and preach? My nature said, well, I'll go home and let them get on with it. But you know, I fell on my knees before the Lord that night, and I opened the word of God and said, Lord, do speak as I open the word. And I opened the word on that first chapter in Jeremiah. And all I saw on the page were those words what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So it's a beautiful word to me. And you know, I went to that chapel and I had to preach three times. And after the evening service, the old deacon that wrote to me came to me and he said, "The Lord's been here today." And he said, "By this we know thou art a man of God and the words of thy mouth are truth." And you know, the Lord wonderfully knitted me to that dear man. And I've never forgot, you know, some of the times afterwards he used to ask me to come, and I used to give them a few Sunday evenings and help them out, and you know, but the Lord knew how to settle me. But I had to come to that place, and so often we do, where we are afraid to bring us to completely and totally and utterly depend upon the Lord, because if he fails us, we're finished. And that's how the soul will feel when they're really afraid. They can't go on themselves. And it may be with you. There are things that exercise you and burden you and concern you, and you're afraid. You fear to presume, and yet you fear to lay hold of something that's not from the Lord, and you're tossed around. And it may be there are places you come to in Providence where you're afraid. Or even in the family. You think, let me just use one further illustration. It's a beautiful account, really, in God's holy word. You think of dear Jairus, whose daughter lay dying. And he sent for the master to come, didn't he? Well, on the way, as Jesus was to go to that house, the woman with the issue of blood, her case had to be dealt with. It almost seemed as though the Saviour was hindered in going. But no, she must die. And what happened? The messenger came and said, "Trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead." When Jesus heard it, we read, he said to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe, and she shall be made whole." He immediately calmed the dear man's heart. "Be not afraid." You may say, oh, there's no doubt he was afraid. What he greatly feared had come upon him. But the Lord was to settle it, you see. "Only believe, and she shall be made whole." And what did he do? He went to the house and took her by the hand and spoke those beautiful words. "May there be a maid here," he speaks this to her, "a dear young man. Maid, I say, arise." And she arose straightway. And he commanded they should give her meat. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you know, right the way through Jeremiah's life, you know he needed that word. "Be not afraid of their faces." You read through the prophecy of Jeremiah and you'll see why he needed it. So he says here, "Ye shall lie down and none." And when the Lord says "and none," he means it. Satan will say to you, "Oh, this didn't mean that, and it didn't mean something else." This word is comprehensive. "And none." And when the Lord said "and none" shall make you afraid, that's exactly what will happen. None will be able. Because the hearts of all men, the enemies of the truth, are all in the Lord's hand. And the heart of the child of God and all their pathways in his hand. We sing, don't we, all events at his command. Well, much further could be said on that, but may the Lord whisper these living realities to your heart and to mine. But then he goes further. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. The margin tells us in the word rid, cause to cease. I will rid them. I will cause them to cease. And you think, really, and I long to see this fulfilled in this nation. There are many evil beasts. And you think, well, you can look at it, go back to what I said at the commencement this morning. The three lands, there's the land of our heart, the land of Zion, the land where we dwell. And if we look in our own heart, and we know our own heart by the Holy Spirit's teaching, there's many evil beasts in us. The self, our pride, covetousness, self-righteousness, worldliness, carnality, evil beasts. And they often creep in and mar the Lord's blessing that the Lord would give to his dear children. They creep in. But here he has said, I will rid evil beasts out of the land. And then you think of the enemies of the church of God. This is what he said he's going to do. Rid the Zion of them. What a wonderful thing, wouldn't it be, to, you know, to see such wondrous works of the Lord manifested. And then, of course, you can apply it to the nation. There are many evil beasts, aren't there? Even in the situation that we're in regarding the exit of the from the European Union, there are many evil beasts. Oh, there are. I don't have to name them all this afternoon. Many of you know a lot of them and probably a lot more about it than I do. But you see, this is what the Lord has said. And then he goes further. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And if you read further on the chapter which we read this morning, of those that were disobedient to what the Lord had commanded, the sword would go forth. And the sword of God, you know, has all power. Oh, it does. And the sword of the enemies. You think of how many times David, in his life, was at the edge of Saul's sword. But Saul couldn't destroy David, could he? Oh, no. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And, may the Lord so appear and apply this word to each of our souls. And when we think of the future and the unknown way, really there's in this text, there's a wonderful prospect. And the Lord alone can bring it to fruition, as he did in Moses' day with the children of Israel. And so he can do it today. There is nothing that's impossible with the Lord, for with God all things are possible. Well, I've just one thing comes to one's mind. Neither shall the sword go through your land. The sword of Satan is ever active, trying to destroy the child of God and destroy what the Lord has done in them. But that sword, you know, of Satan shall not go through your land. It won't destroy you. Oh no. It can't, because you see, the Lord's love is toward his dear children. And having loved them in Christ before the world was formed, he loved them to the end. And that's a wonderful mercy. Well, I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. I've only scratched around the surface of it today. But oh, may the glory belong to the Lord, and he have all the praise. Amen.